Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Motoya, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much.
How are you doing this afternoon? Are you good?
Yes, I'm doing well. The Lord is blessing me so much.
Ah, fantastic, man. Great to hear from you this afternoon. I do hope that you have had a good day as well. We're talking about seeking and extending reconciliation. And you know, it's difficult, if not impossible, to discuss reconciliation without including the concept of forgiveness. And so today, we are going to be zooming in on one of the common questions that are often asked in relation to forgiveness. And that is, what is the definition of biblical forgiveness?
Thank you very much. The definition of biblical forgiveness is simply to get rid of bitterness and to love even the person who hurt you. That is basically the biblical definition. So you get rid of bitterness, and then you get rid of all the resentment, and then you show love. And that is how the Bible looks at matters of forgiveness.
Now, why do we need reconciliation, and from who do we need it?
Thank you very much for that one. We really need reconciliation. We need reconciliation from whoever we have wronged, because it is in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, where it says, if you have anything with someone, you know, whom probably you have wronged, and you are about to give your offering, you're about to worship, and you remember that, yes, you had an issue with someone, and the Bible literally says, leave that issue of worship. In other words, God is saying, no, the best way to worship is to reconcile with the person who hurt you, with the person you hurt yourself. You go and reconcile. So that is basically what the Lord is expecting of us, that we need to reconcile with even those that we have hurt and those that we who have wronged us. And interesting enough, when you read in the Bible, it's very, very clear that God wants us to be able to experience reconciliation in our lives. Because you realize in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, he says, you are now not the old person. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone. Then immediately after that, then he says, God sent, you know, God is reconciling us to himself through Jesus Christ. So that in itself tells you that God is in the business of this ministry of reconciliation, and we ourselves also should be engaged in reconciliation. So to reconcile is when two parties come together after a difference, after a conflict, after, you know, something that happened between the two of them, and they went the, you know, separate ways. There was some bitterness or hurt or pain or anger, and now they are coming together to start a new chapter together, and that is what reconciliation is all about.
Should people actually reconcile even if they don't want to?
No, there is actually no need to reconcile if the other party doesn't want. There is absolutely no need. Yes, I'll give you this one. The Bible literally says that be at peace as much as possible with everyone. So as much as possible, be at peace with everyone. In other words, it's as much as possible. So sometimes it may not be possible. Sometimes it may be possible that you reconcile. So that should be something that we need to appreciate. And you did mention something to do with should really people go into reconciliation. The other answer we could give is, if you are able, yes, reconciliation is very important. I'll give you an example. If you are in marriage, if you are in marriage, there is no way you can run away from reconciliation, because you said, for better, for worse, we shall be together. Okay, I do. No matter what comes our way, we are in this together, and we'll make this marriage work. And the only way to make it work is when you do what? You reconcile. So that tells you that, yes, because of this relationship that you have, reconciliation is a must. I'll give you an example. The Bible is very clear that we as human beings, we sinned against God. But then when you read Romans 5 verse 8, it says, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet rebels, while we were yet evildoers, while we were yet a people that were totally enemies of God, he decided, the Bible says, to demonstrate his love to us through the death of Jesus Christ, so that we, so that we can be reconciled to him. Why? Because he took our relationship as those that he created, and him being our creator, as us being children and him being the father, to be so serious that he took the seriousness of looking at reconciliation as a must and say, these two should reconcile.
And if they are not able to reconcile, then it means that what put them together can no longer be sustained.
You are right. It means it cannot be sustained. But what is there is, even where they are unable to reconcile, still the forgiveness must be there. So forgiveness part is something that is a must. You can't run away from it. It must be there.
Now, talk to us about the significance of reconciliation as it relates to our relationship with God, especially after the fall of man.
Well, it's very important. Why is it important? Because each one of us, the Bible is very clear in Romans 3 verse 23, that we have fallen short of the glory of God. To the extent that even when we try to take steps steps to God. Yes, I'm trying to avoid the word steps to Christ, because there's a book that I love, Steps to Christ. Mm-hmm. But even when we, on our own, try to take steps to Christ, you realize that it doesn't work if that reconciliation with our God is not there. Yeah, it will not work, because he says even our own right doing, our own righteousness is like filthy rags. So that tells you that in our relationship with God, reconciliation is very important, because for anything right, for anything worthy, for anything holy, for anything righteous, it can only be powered by God himself, including repentance. It's powered by God himself. So it has to be God who does all those good works in us. So because of that, we can't do without him. He says, you are branches, I am the vine. Without me, you are nothing, you can do nothing. So we need to connect ourselves to him. How do we connect ourselves to him? It's only when we come back to him. Because we had gone to a far country like the prodigal son, we need to come back to our father. And that coming back is what is reconciliation, talked about as reconciliation. So we really need the reconciliation, because it's the only way that we can walk with our Lord. It's the only way that we can indeed walk with God as Enoch did. So that is how and why reconciliation is so important to us after the fall, because all of us, we need to come back to the Lord. And coming back to the Lord, he says, come, even if your sins are so bad, come, let us reason together, so that you can now, we can reconcile. And that is now coming back to him. And that's what we call repentance.
Now, you know, in the case of our separation from God due to sin, of course, What example do we learn from God's approach to us, you know, for how we should on how we should navigate the damaged relationships?
Thank you very much. I think what we learn now is this, that if you are Abraham and the other one is Lot, and Lot is the one who is not showing respect for Abraham, it is you who is Abraham, who takes it, who perceives, who thinks that you are in a better position, who should go down and say, what is it that we can do? All I'm saying is this, to break it in a simpler manner. You who has been offended, you who is hurting, there is no harm for you to know that you can still initiate the issue of reconciliation. Yes, it's very, very okay. It's in order, because we see that in the fall of man, it is not God who sinned against us. No. And it's not God who tempted us. No. It's not God who dragged us to sin against him. No. Willfully and voluntarily, on our own, we decided to go with the devil and rebel against God. We decided to sin. We are the ones who sinned against God. We are the ones who wronged God. And so, and yet when we look at Calvary, what we see there is not us. It's not us coming to God to say, let's make this relationship work. It's not us. It's actually God coming to us. Yes, it's actually God coming to us. If I would put it in almost like a lighter note, in just a lighter note, I could say, Abraham is asked, what has happened in Genesis chapter 3? And he says, God, it's not my fault. It is you, because you are the one who gave me this woman. And then Eve is asked, hey, what happened? And Eve says, no, God, you can't put the blame on me. It's not me. It is the snake that you created. So this issue is all on you. And God says, okay, then I take it. I take it. And then he comes down to us to reconcile us to himself as the lamp of God. And so all I'm saying is, we who have been, you know, grieved, who have been hurt, who have been betrayed, disappointed, wronged, we can still take the step into reconciliation. And maybe I could say this, my brother, that this is where you see our listener out there, that forgiveness is very key to reconciliation. To some extent, we can even claim that there is no reconciliation if there is no forgiveness. So forgiveness is a sure step and solid step towards reconciliation. Allow me to just quickly make a sweeping statement. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. It's not reconciliation. No. It's not reconciliation. Not even for lack of better terms, it's not reconciliation. But forgiveness is a very powerful, very fame and good, step towards reconciliation.
Now, am I hearing you correctly that if a person has been wronged, if you have been wronged by someone, you can initiate reconciliation?
Yes, I was saying it is actually possible and it is still in order. I was just picking it from your question to say, from what God did, is there something that we can learn? And this is exactly what we can learn, that you can actually forgive someone even when they have not shown remorse. You can forgive someone even when they have not apologized to you. You can forgive someone even when they are not there. And now, that forgiveness is the one that can lead now into reconciliation. What happens is this, my brother. Most of the times, when somebody is wronged, what comes out, you know, when somebody is wrong, what really comes out so strong is what is known as bitterness. And this bitterness comes with what is known as resentment, where you don't want to anywhere come closer to this person or to be with this person. And because of this bitterness, because of this resentment, you discover that it is very difficult for you to reconcile. That's why it's crucial to the person who was wronged to forgive, for them to be able to reconcile. Yes. You know, just a text in the Bible, Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32, it says, get rid of all bitterness. So it begins by just telling us to get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, you know, and it says all forms of malice and terrible words. And then it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So what we see here is our motivation to forgive and reconcile is because God forgave us and he has reconciled us to himself. So that is our motivation. And we see that usually it's the person who is wronged who has this resentment and they don't want to be with this particular person. And I should also stress that it's not all relationships that you need to reconcile. For example, you see that your life is in danger. You cannot say, now that I've forgiven this person, I need to reconcile. No, you can forgive the person and not reconcile because your life is in danger.
Right. Now, I want to just get into the forgiveness part. How exactly does one go about forgiving the offender? What are practical steps that are to be taken, you know, to show that I've forgiven the offender? I think that is very critical.
Thank you for that question. What are the practical steps? Number one, the one who has been offended must be able to know that it was not their fault. That's a very important thing to start with, that it was not their fault. Number two, the one who was offended must know that if they don't forgive, they're the ones who will be carrying the burden. They're the ones who will be carrying that heavy load. They're the ones who will be carrying this baggage. They're the ones who will be carrying the bitterness. And so they need to get to the point of knowing that, hey, here, I'm the one who carry this. Okay, I'm the one who is taking the poison, not the other one who offended me. The other thing that this person is supposed to know is this, that to forgive, it is not a point, it is a process. It's not a point, no, it's a process, because we have seen some Christians who say, oh, you were wronged by this one, yes, okay, the two of you kneel down, let's pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now let's shake hands, you have forgiven each other. No, forgiveness is not a point, and this is a very important thing to realize. That's okay. Not a point, it's a process. And if it is a process, then your question comes very, you know, important and vital. What are the steps that you need to take to go through? Number one, the Bible is clear that in Hebrews 12, verse 15, that lest you fall short of the grace of God, and the root of bitterness springs up, and it will cause harm and defile many. Now, that in itself tells you that bitterness and anger, that tells you the unforgiving spirit has roots. So, number one step is to uproot those roots. Now, to uproot those roots, it should be clear to each one of us, even for us who are children of God, that it is a painful thing to uproot those roots. So the number one step is to allow the pain, to allow the pain. So if you feel like getting angry, it's okay. If you feel like crying, it's okay. Allow the process of pain for what was done against you. Because to forgive, you're not saying nothing was done. No, it's because you remember that something was done against you. Yeah. And so you need to allow the pain. Allow the pain is a very important step. The other step that is very important is this. You should make a choice. Don't depend upon your feelings. No, you should make a choice. Don't depend upon your feelings. Make a choice. Now, this choice should be a firm choice. where you say, because Jesus loved me and forgave me, today I have chosen to forgive this person. Mm. I've chosen to forgive this person. So you need to do that. It's very, very important that way. The other thing also in this particular process you need to do is that learn from what Jesus said. He says in Luke 22, Luke 23, verse 34, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That's a big statement. Mm-hmm. They do not know what they are doing. So in this process of forgiveness, take it to yourself that this person who has wronged me, they didn't know what they were doing because they were being used by my enemy, who is the devil. Yeah, this brother, this sister is not my enemy, but he allowed himself or herself to be used by my enemy. Mm. So forgive, oh Lord, help me, give me the grace to forgive. So that's another step. And the last one I could mention now is this, that it's important for you then to get rid of bitterness and resentment against that person. And it is where you get to the point where you're wishing them well.
Mm.
It is where you get to the point where if they're looking for a job and you've seen an advert, you can forward to them.
Mm.
It's where when you hear there is a tender somewhere and they can get money from it, you can forward the tender to them. It's where you're wishing them well. Yes. And when they are in trouble, you also feel it. So those, to me, are very critical and very important steps. And my dear brother, please don't get tired when I say the last one and now the final last one.
Mm.
And it's important, another step, to communicate to God.
Yep.
Talk to God. Speak to him. He's the only one who can give you the grace to forgive. There are other people who have even said to forgive is divine. It's only God who can give you the grace. Even Jesus said, Father, forgive them. It's only God who can give you the grace to forgive. And so when you pray for this, yes, to me, I know it, that you can enjoy a forgiving spirit, a sweet, sweet spirit in your heart, a spirit of a worshiper who says, because the Lord has forgiven me, I will forgive others as well.
Mm. Now, before I let you go, does the aggressor have to know that I have forgiven them?
I would say it's optional. It's optional, sometimes yes, sometimes not. There are some aggressors that you can tell that they are leading a miserable life now because they really desire to be forgiven for whatever they did. And for that, yes, they need to know that you have forgiven them so that you set them free, so that they can be at peace as well. There are times when the one who is the aggressor is actually dead. So you can still forgive them. There are times when the aggressor is not there, is very far.
Yeah.
You don't even know where they are. Mm. You can still forgive them. So the point that I'm trying to stress here is, if it is possible, as much as it is possible, you can inform them that I have forgiven you. But for some that it is not possible, then don't inform them. Here's another reason why it is as much as it is possible. Because there are some, you even know, that the moment you go to them and say, I have forgiven you, they will start all over again to inflict pain in you because they want to see you miserable. Yeah, they want to see you miserable. So they will inflict pain in you again and again. So they'll come to you over and over again to make sure that you are miserable. So to such a person, you don't go there. If you read the Bible, you can't advise Hannah in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, to go back to Peninnah and say, I have forgiven you. Because Peninnah, the Bible says, desired to just provoke her and make her miserable year after year. So there are cases where, yes, you need to inform them to say, I have forgiven you. There are cases where you don't need to inform them that I have forgiven you. But it is crucial for your life. Why? Because Jesus taught us how to pray. And he says, when you pray, don't say my Father. say our Father, because he's the father even of the one who wronged you, aggressor. You say our Father, and then you end by saying that forgive as I forgive others. That's Matthew 6, verse 12, and even verse 14. Forgive as I forgive others. So that's very important for your spiritual journey and for your life as a child of God.
Yeah. All right, Pastor Master, thank you so much for coming through and actually very extensively, you know, explaining the issue of reconciliation, forgiveness, and extending that reconciliation from your side as the one who has been wronged, learning from, you know, God himself, who is our creator, and that we should emulate him in all things that we do, especially when it comes to the issues of forgiveness and reconciliation. Thank you so much for coming through, Pastor.
I really appreciate God. Richly bless you, and please keep hope alive.
Thank you so much. Blessings.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.